I remember the story that I experienced when I was in the yeshiva. Halopachim went to Meron. Halopachim went to Meron on Lag BaOmer. Halopachim went, and I remember that I went to my magichir was Reb Avraham Shmulevitz, Shlita the son of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, legendary Rosh Yeshiva of Mir Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. One of his sons is Reb Avraham Tzvi Shmulevitz. So I asked him, if I can go to Meron. So he said, why do people go to Meron? Why do people go to Meron? Because to go to the Tzion of, to the birthplace of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So he said, it's good. But he says, he knows another place where Reb Shimon Bar Yochai really is. He said, his father used to say that if you look in, you open up in Gemara, in countless places, in Shabbos, in Brochas, in Erevin, countless places, Reb Shimon is there as well. She didn't have to travel all the way to the north of Eretz Yisrael to visit Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And he used to say the words, remember the words are so clear, Reb Shimon is there, Reb Shimon is here, Reb Shimon is in the Gemara. That's where you can find Reb Shimon. And I did not get authorization to go up to Meron. That's the bottom line. So based on that, Reb Shimon is there, Reb Shimon is here. So of course, I remember that very clearly. So the importance is to... Okay, we're up to Simon Shin Pei Aleph. I'm going to go very quickly, finish the Simon. We're up to the bottom of page 496, Simon Shin Pei Aleph, Siv Dalet Hevav, which is the enzyme completion, and perhaps start Simon Shin Pei Beis, which is page 498, which is really an important topic, which is about when we live with the Goy. So that's going to be an important topic, because what we're going to be discussing in Shin Pei Beis is the following. I'm going to quickly make an introduction, although of course we're going to speak in greater detail once we get to it, but as an introduction, we know that we have a, when we make an a strings, when we make the Tzuz HaPesach, and the, when we come, like we do in Edgware, right? So what does that effectively do? We need to keep that in mind. What happens when we do that? So in terms of domains, what happens then? Pardon? Very good. So what happens then effectively, as we've learned previously, when you make a string, when you make a, well, it's not really completely the strings, it's actually only partially the strings, but what happens then, we're actually forming a Rishus Yochid. Okay, very good. So now, but the halacha is still that we learned, and that's what we've been learning for the last few weeks, that just because something is Rishus Yochid, that doesn't allow you necessarily carrying in it. Because effectively what you're doing is, and that's really a key point, we've got to keep that in mind. Yes, of course, on a Torah level, you'll have to carry in a Rishus Yochid, of course. But there's a rabbinical restriction which still exists. And what is a rabbinical restriction? That you're not allowed to carry from a bayis to a chotza, from a house to a courtyard. Now, how does that apply once we've established all the air of all the strings around Edgware, or around Williamsburg, or Northwest London, or whoever it may be? What have we created when we have done the strings around it? What is it now? Yes, the Rishus Yochid, but what kind of Rishus Yochid is it? It's a chotza, that's right. It's a chotza. Now, what happens is it's all a chotza. The whole of Edra became, come call it a bais, it's not a house, it's a chotza, effectively. So what happens then is that when, once we assume, once we understand that it's all a chotza, so it, what happens then is that there's an additional rabbinical restriction that, yes, on a Torah level, you're allowed to carry an Rishus Yochid, and you're allowed to carry from in the chotza, within the chotza we learned, you can carry as much as you want, that's fine. But Chachamim did make an additional Issa Rabbanon, which you're not allowed to carry from a bais to a chotza and vice versa. Which means, that although once you have established the Eruv around Edgware, you've done a great deal in terms of carrying from Mowbray Road to the alley, from the alleyway to Broadfields, Broadhurst, you're allowed to carry now, Franklin Gardens, you're allowed to carry, but not from the house onto it, and vice versa. Because for that's considered as if you're carrying from the bais to the chotza. So again, once you've made the whole Edgware into a Rishus Yochid, you've actually made it into a chotza, and therefore there's still an Issur Rabbanon to carry from the house onto the street. So what's the answer? What do you need to do about that? What's the answer? You're still allowed to carry from a house to a chotzer. So what do we need to do about it? Exactly, an Eruv Chatzeres. And that's why every citywide Eruv is very good in terms of making it into Rishus Yochid. But there's still a restriction, an obligation. He's still going to make an Eruv Chatzeres. Without an Eruv Chatzeres, you're not allowed to carry. You're not allowed to carry in the area because it's a chotzer. Does that make sense? So that we're going to be learning in Siman Shin Pei Beis. I hope to get to that soon in Mitzvah. But let's quickly zoom through Siv Dalet Hev of Zayin, bottom of page 496. Yesh Bitl Oshos Mabais Lebais. Please allow me to go really fast. So what is that? What is that? We know this is the Bitl Oshos. What's Bitl Oshos again? That's it. So there's also a Bitl Oshos from a house to another house. Shimo Yishnei Batim, if there was two houses. Hupezach Beinem in a entrance between them. V'loy Evon did not make an Eruv. Echad mevat l'shus l'chaveiro, person is allowed to make a bit l'shus to the opposite, to the house, so one bais to another house. V'afilu niven ha-mevat l'mutu l'oitzi mebeis l'bais chaveiro, and once you've done a bit l'shus, even the person who's at the bitl is allowed to carry from one house to the next. Havol ein yoch l'oitzi mebeis chaveiro l'beis v'bot, he's not allowed to carry from the other house onto his own. She'ozo yochozo machzik b'shus shebitl, because that would be considered a bitl of the Chazak of the Bitl Rishus. V'chein in Tzimlim, yesh lo yicheda pasuach leveisoi, if there's a room which is next to his house, u'bitl Rishus beveisoi, and he made the Bitl Rishus to his house, also le'oitzi mechoda leveisoi, he's not allowed to carry from the cheda, from his room to the base of his house. V'yesh oim te'en vatel mbais lebais, some say not to make a Bitl Rishus from one house to another bais. Elim kein unless, yashar le'atzim cheda, you have to allow one room must remain that you didn't do in Bitl on. So although there is such a concept of a bitl rishus of a house, but that's only if you allow one house, you're not including one little room in the bitl rishus. It's good to do so. So whilst it is true, says Shulchan Aruch, in one sentence, whilst it's true that there is such a thing as a bitl rishus of a bais, however, the Gemara is machmir and says you should still remain one room, should not be part of that. And that leads us to Ziv. Hey, shnei batim shnei tzedir reshus rabim. If you've got two houses and one on opposite reshus rabim, so say one will be on one side of the A41, the other will be on the other side of the A41. Ve'kifam enam yehudim and goyim put a mechitza around it on Shabbos. So imagine, one on one side of the A41, the other house on the other side of the A41. And goyim made a mechitza around between them now. And now, what's in between the A41 between them is considered a chotza. They will ask one another. In such a case, because there's a shus rabbi in between, you cannot do bitl rishus. You cannot do bitl rishus between them. Yerish mevatel rishus. Yerish does do bitl rishus. Shem lo erav, merishoy, v'meis. V'meis b'shabas, ha-yerish bolodu b'chotzer v'oysa. Yoch levatel rishus. If there is somebody who dies, so the person who yashans it, the inheritance, he can't do bitl rishus, and he will ask him, he can't do bitl rishus, that would work. So although the individual owner died, the yorish can't do bitl rishus, and finally, mevatlin v'choizim mevatlin, can do a bitl, and then a chazora, and then another bitl, klema, shevatlin v'shusim v'nei chotze zuri v'nei chotze acheres, you do bitl rishus, and then afterwards one, So you can do a bit of shus, cancel it, and then do a bit of shus again. And with this, we have learned Siman Shin Pei Aleph, and that makes us all ready for Siman Shin Pei Beis. So again, Shin Pei Beis will discuss the following question. We've got a completely new shayla, really. That's about the goy. Who mentioned the goy? Did you mention the goy the other day? Somebody mentioned the goy. Who mentioned the goy? Because that's really going to be the thing you mentioned, the goy. How do we deal with the goy? Because the assumption is that a goy is not quite the same. So the question we're going to be analyzing and discussing in Shin Pei Beis is, what do we do if you've got a chotzer, and that's extremely relevant in Edgware, and in fact any normal citywide Eruv. You've got a chotzer with many people living in the Chotzer. Mishpachas Kitanka, Mishpachas Davis, Mishpachas, many families living. And that's very nice. And now what we're doing, we're doing an Eruv. But now, there's a problem over here, because it's fine that you participate in the Eruv. Very nice. Thank you very much. It's fine. It's great you participate in the Eruv. That's fine. What happens if there's a Goy there? A Goy being part of the Chotzer. It's a problem. Why is it a problem? Why is the Goy a problem within the Chotzer? Right. Because he is he part of it or not? What do you want him to do exactly? Should he be part of the Eruv? Should he be part of the Eruv? Should he chip in? Can't ask the Goy to chip in. Why not?
He can carry anyway.
Good. You're saying he can carry anyway. Okay. So, you're saying that since he can carry anyway, so okay, why can he, let's address that point. You, what you're referring to, is very much on a Torah perspective. When we're talking about the melacha of carrying, you're quite right. Of course, a goy can carry as much as he wants on any Shabbos. That's true. But over here, we're going on a slightly different aspect. And what we're discussing really over here is the halacha, or the rabbinical restriction, that if there is a chotzer courtyard, and many residents within that, so Chachamim saw this, said it one second here, this is a bit of like a public domain, and you can't have everybody just carrying in and out. So Chachamim said, you know what, if there's a chotzer over here, we go inside it, you've got to, what are you going to do over here? What happens here? So we've got to see what happens with the goy in a chotzer, because it's the rabbanon, it's not the reise. We're going to see what happens. So, what do you do with the goy in the chotzer? Does he, in the first place, does he ask or not? Says this, top of page 498. What happens with the goy in the chotzer? What happens with him? Hador im akum bechotzer. If somebody lives with a goy in a chotzer, such as edgeware, such as anybody living in a block of flats where there's goyish residence, goyim. Einoy oise olof. It will not always be an issue and a problem. Not always. Only if once there is two goyim living with two yidden. And then they will ask one another. Only then the goy will ask on them. Now, we're going to answer your question now in Mishnah Berurah. On a Torah perspective, and we're going to learn a bit of Musa now. On a Torah perspective, the dwelling of a goy is not considered a dwelling at all. It's a bit like what you were saying. Why not? Let him carry as much as he wants. He's a goy. Why do I care the fact that in the third floor, flat 7, there's a goy living there? What do I care about it? And in principle, you're quite right, because the dwelling of a goy is not considered a dwelling at all. However, Chumim were a bit concerned. And they said, it's not a very kind of healthy dynamics to have one yid living amongst goyim. It's not very healthy. What might happen if there's one yid living with many goyim? What might happen? One yid, 25 goyim. Pardon? He's going to be influenced. Of course he will. Of course he will be influenced. Although I must say that I was brought up in Switzerland, and it's very rare that there wasn't many, we all lived in flats. There's no houses like here, and in flat, it's very rare that you have gotten the same block of you living there. It's very rare. There's only a few blocks that is, it's a bit better now, I think, but so you're very used to living with goyish neighbors. It's quite healthy. But Chachamim said, if you're the only yid living amongst goyim, then you might get influenced. I remember where I lived was we had only goyish neighbors. It was about 4 or 5, and then they were all quite old and a bit. Not openly anti-Semitic. In Switzerland, people are not openly anti-Semitic, but when there were sukkahs, we were allowed, we asked permission. You have to ask all the neighbors permission if you can build a sukkah. So I asked every single, I had to ask written permission a few weeks in advance. Was it okay to use a little bit of the for a religious ceremony to build a sukkah. And then first, you know, sometimes they say, no, actually, unfortunately, we can't. It won't work out. They say, but one year we actually managed to put it off. After a few years, we managed to actually build a sukkah in there. And then it was very interesting. We had this, there was like a shared area where the garden, a shared garden. And that's where we built our little sukkah. We built it there. The whole year, they never came down into the public, but suddenly when they came to sukkahs and we built our humble sukkah, they came down and they had their picnic there and they had loud music playing there and they came down and they had a gansa yom tov there. Came for sukkahs, that was it. Once the sukkahs, when we took our sukkah down, and that was it. They never to be seen again until next year. And the next year again, sukkahs, we built our sukkah. We asked permission a few weeks in advance, we built our sukkah, and suddenly they came, she showed up again, and then they made ganz heimisch, and they made that. So it's a bit of an issue. But Chachamim do, Mishtabur does say that to be the only Yid in the Chotzah, the only Yid in the Chotzah with other goyim, that might not be particularly healthy dynamics. And therefore, Chachamim had to make zeus and that. We're going to be discussing this a little bit more in greater detail, Beis Hashem, next week. But it's maybe just a bit of an introduction that there's an issue with being one Chotzah, one Yid with other goyim, that leads to various shalits. And that will be discussed in greater detail, Beis Hashem, next week after Shabbos, Beis Hashem. Okay, I wish you a very good evening and a very good Shabbos indeed. Yeah.